like praising, praising here. Oh, I feel like praising, praising here. Oh, praise him in the morning, praise him all day long. I feel like praising, praising here. Oh, I feel like praising. Praising him, I feel like praising, praising him, praise him in the morning, praise him all day long. I feel like praising, I feel like serving him, I feel like serving, oh serving him, I feel. Let's sing that last verse again. Oh, now Jesus is my
Amen. You believe that this morning? Amen. Just was at Brother Josh Bennett's here a couple Wednesday nights ago ministering. And a man come up to me after service. He said, you know, I didn't come up for prayer. He said, because I didn't have to. He said, I was sitting in service. He said, I couldn't hardly put my shoes on to come to church. My legs and feet were so swollen and didn't know what was going on. A lot of fluid in my body. And doctors are saying all kinds of things. He said, but while you was preaching, I said, Lord, that's for me, and I accept my healing right now. And he said, immediately he felt his shoes go slack, and his feet were completely normal, all the swelling gone. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. It'll break every chain. It'll overcome every sickness. It'll overcome every problem, every situation. There's power in the name. Amen. The very first time that name was spoke, maybe through mortal lips recording their Bible, a baby leapt forth and life came to the womb. There's power in that name this morning. How many would like to say, Lord, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Let power flow through me. Amen. And amen to my situation. We have some needs we want to make known this morning. We want to pray for Reagan Erskine. She has a bad cold and cough, not feeling well. Also, the Cutshaw family is sick. Maddie and Nevaeh this morning, same thing, colds and cough. I know what that's like. Battled it for about 2 months, but amen, Lord's my healer. Amen. And so we also want to remember Brother Kirkman Jackson's son, James, who requested prayer. He has a need in his life and seeks a touch from the Lord. So I remember those needs this morning. Amen. Let's just go to him in prayer, everyone together. Amen. Calling upon the name of Jesus. How many would have a need? You want to make it known by the uplifted hand. Say, Father, speak to me this morning. Touch my life, oh God. Amen. Do you believe he sees your hand lifted before him? Amen. Well, then if he sees it, he knows what your need is. He knows what your situation is. And he has the answer for everything that you could ever think of or possibly ask. Amen. Let's just speak to him this morning. Father God, we're so thankful, Lord, to be able to come together, Lord, with our family and friends of like precious faith, Lord. And know that when we call upon the name of Jesus, there's a God that hears. And there's a God to come and answer the needs and the situations in our lives. Lord, we can truly say you're a miracle worker. We've seen the miracles and signs and wonders you've done, Lord, just in our life, Father. And the situations, the answers that you've given. Lord, you are so wonderful to us, Lord. And I know that what you've done and answered in my life, you can answer for others, Lord, also. And you've seen the hands that were lifted up, Lord. You know the needs, the situations. We ask God to speak to every heart and every life. Lord, we come expecting something from you this morning. Lord, what we expect, that's what we'll get. And Lord, we're expecting you to come this morning and move mightily among us, Father. You know every heart that's here. You know every situation. You know every struggle. Lord, you know every home, Lord, that's been tore up by Satan's devices trying to come and tear the homes up. You know every heart, every young person, Lord, down to the smallest to the oldest among us. You know every situation. And Lord, we commit it in your hands. We had faith to raise our hands this morning and say, Lord, I have a need. Because we have faith in a God who sees and understands and is able to answer and able to handle whatever situation it is. We commit it to you tonight, today, God. And we ask, Lord, that you just move and move in this service. Father, anoint the songs, anoint the specials. Lord, the preaching of your word, the receiving of your word. Lord, the man of God can get anointed and preach the gospel. It takes a people under the anointing to receive it. Lord, may the ears of your people be open this morning to hear and the hearts open to receive. Lord, you see every heart. You see the visitors among us. May you bless them this morning, Lord. And touch their lives. And Lord, just move through every heart, we pray. We commit this service to your hands. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have some visitors among us. God bless you. So glad you're here with us this morning. Let's just turn around. If you have one of those visitors next to you, be sure to make him welcome this morning. Shake hands with one another. Amen. Welcome each other to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Also want to have, we have a couple of announcements here. Young people will have a meeting right after church this morning. So if you remember that. Someone's not here, and you know it if you can get the message to them. Also, we're having a fall youth banquet be this October the 31st. So if you put that on your calendar, we're looking for some wonderful things from the Lord. We have someone, amen, that's never been here before. Brother Andrew Spencer will be coming and ministering for us. So we're really looking forward to that. Amen. And so we've known his dad for a long time, known Brother Andrew for a long time. But God's called him into the ministry some about 3 or 4, maybe 6 years ago. And doing a wonderful work through him. And so we're expecting some good things. Amen. How many is expecting something this morning? Amen. 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 We'll let you be seated. Let's sing that song. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Amen. There to sing forever of his saving grace. Amen. That's brothers they would to take the offering this morning. As I journey through the land, seen as I go, pointing souls to Calvary. Oh, many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on. Oh, I know I want to see him look upon his face, there to see forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. There's all past home at last. Oh, and when in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him. He will give me life. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead. Oh, and oh, I want to see him there to see forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, oh, cares all past. I wanted to be. I But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle in the sky. Above the peaks, my soul can be found. Oh, an unexpected soul may climb me from the highs. If it bring me low, it'll never bring me down. Why? Because I know. Second verse, ask the youth choir to come this morning. Sometimes I soar like an eagle in the sky. Above the peaks, my soul can be found. Oh, an unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. May bring but it'll never bring me down. 'Cause I know the master of the wind. Oh yes, I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know. Let's sing that chorus one more time. I know the master. I know the master of the wind. I know. Sun to shine again. I know.
You will believe and be still and watch him move.
Faith can move that mountain if you ask in Jesus' name. Speak the word, believing he will prove his power again and watch that mountain be cast into the sea. Therefore, watch that mountain.
Jesus is the same today as he always has been. So stand and watch the wonder as he proves it once again. Speak the word,
and he will prove his power again.
Oh, and watch.
Amen. I believe that. Speak the word this morning. Amen. It's time we quit talking our doubts and our fears and all these other things and just speak the word of God and watch the mountain move. Amen. We know our mountain knows our voice and we have the authority and the right to speak to it. Amen. Amen. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. I give myself. I give myself away. I give myself away. Oh, one more time. I give myself. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. My heart, take all my life.
thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside.
Oh,
you thought I was to die for.
So I could be free. Well, I don't have to be bound no more. Oh, what a work the Son of God has done in our lives this morning. Amen. We are worshipers this morning. We've been given a song to sing, the song angels cannot sing. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We were once were sinners, lost, going to a sinner's grave in the devil's hell. But God, rich in mercy, hallelujah, He worked it so we could be holy, so we could be free. Let the worshipers arise as the word comes this morning. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. Hallelujah. I'm surrendering.
I'm surrendering.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I surrender. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Oh, we know the price He paid. For us. Oh, I'm surrendering.
I'm surrendering.
Oh, my heart. Oh, I surrender to
You. And Father, I see the silver drawing, a light in the sand. I want to be standing on Your side.
Has been broken. Amen. The mystery's been revealed in this day. How wonderful we are to be living in this hour. What a glorious hour. Amen. What a wonderful time to be serving God right here in this end time, and to know that God has called you and chosen you for this last day. Amen. As Paul would call it, the evil day. He said, done and doing all to stand. Stand therefore. Amen. Gird the armor around you.
that you may stand in the evil day. This is where we're at. Amen. It's the last day. But we're here and we're called and we're chosen. Amen. It's also a wonderful day to be serving God. Amen. To be accounted worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. Amen. Let's bow our heads together as we just talk to the Lord a moment and ask God's grace upon the service today, upon the word as it would go forth, that God would just minister to hearts now. Father, we're your children. We have gathered in your name, Lord. We want to thank you for your goodness to us and your grace, for thy mercies. Thy loving kindness is greater than life. And what a joy it is to be serving you in this hour, in a day and hour, Lord, where Christ is rejected. The word is set aside for men's creeds and dogmas. Lord, where men are choosing whatever's right in their own eyes. And there's a people, Lord, that's choosing what's right in your eyes. Lord, they're looking to you. They want to find your favor. They want to walk in your grace. I pray, Lord, you'll bless your people, Lord, today as they have assembled together in your name. May you meet every need, Lord, according to your riches and glory. There are those that need healing and deliverance. There are those that need salvation, Lord, to be set free from sin. Lord, whatever the need is, we know you're the Savior, Father. Father God, I think of, Lord, a call I got today for Brother Bill Laster in Kentucky, Lord. The doctors have given him up to die. But Lord, a saint can't die. Lord, there's no way that a saint can die, Lord. We might change dimensions. But when the cancer is dead, he'll still be living. We know, Lord, that you're a miracle-working God. And you're more than able. You're a healer, O God, of all diseases. And we would ask, Lord, for deliverance for our brother, God. You would undertake for him. Lord, I pray you'll just comfort and strengthen his family now, and the church family there. Encourage them in the faith, Lord. As we look to the word, Lord, I pray that you'll open up our understanding today and reveal yourself through the word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll turn to Revelation chapter 5. We'll read from the first verse, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. This is certainly an outstanding scripture that we want to look at this morning, one that is specific to our day that we're living in. And we want to just read it today as before you're seated, as we stand in honor to the Word of God. Revelation 5 and 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And then I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. God bless you. You can be seated. May he add his blessings to the reading of his word. So it's a joy to be back together with you, having been gone for a few services here. And I want to say we appreciate our brother Joe Adams for the ministry of the word while we were gone. And also brother Jonathan Martin was here and over the Labor Day weekend. And I know, as always, he is a blessing. And you were blessed by his ministry. Amen. And here we are today to serve the living God and to worship God together. I took a little bit of extra time going and coming back. As you know, my wife Karen, a month ago now, had a brain bleed and was rushed to Minden and then on to the University Hospital in Shreveport there to treat that. And she was in the hospital, the ICU one night, and then the next night in a regular room, and then dismissed and sent home. And her blood pressure was still spiking, and we were concerned about that. Went to a doctor, a primary care doctor, got the blood pressure medication there to treat that, and took one pill. And that night we had the prayer line there that lasted to midnight on Wednesday night. God touched her body and healed her. And we were blessed there. The doctors didn't want her to fly, so we honored that, and we just drove and took a few extra days. But not one time during the whole time and after we've gotten back home has her blood pressure been anything but normal. Amen. Amen. I think it was 115 over 74 or something like that yesterday morning when I took it last. So, amen. God is great. Amen. He's wonderful. And we've not had to take any medication for it. Not that we're against that, but you know, why do we need that when our Lord has touched her? Amen. Amen. So we thank God for his healing touch. And I know there have been many of you that have been touched by the hand of God. And I just trust that he'll touch your life today. Amen. We're just looking to him to minister to the word. Amen. Now, you found out yesterday I was home, so you sisters didn't disappoint me. You didn't bring no food for the guys that were working, so you depended on me, and I supplied it, and I fed them. Amen. So, you know, we bought again for the men that came and worked yesterday, and we appreciate, though, the many meals that you did bring while I was gone and away, but I guess you think I'm back on duty again. So, we want to just say that the Lord has blessed the brothers, in getting tremendous things done. And we appreciate their labor and their work unto the Lord. And some of them were there yesterday working late, trying to get some things done, pads that are built all around now for the AC units to set down on, the transformer to set down on, and just now need the concrete to be poured. And yeah, we're going to need your help. So, we just expect, you to, in your time, when you can, to give unto the Lord. And we appreciate that very much. Amen. The many efforts that has gone in thus far has been very great. Some of it's been heroic, actually heroic. When I think of the dedication of some of you brothers that have stepped forward and went to the pass beyond the call of duty, and I want to say how I appreciate that very much. And sometimes, you know, our reward, and this is not no reward for me to say something about it this morning, but I tell you, our reward lays on the other side. Amen. And that's where we want to hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so as we give unto the Lord, and we want to say that we appreciate, though, the labors that has been done and given unto the Lord. Thank you very much. God bless you. Why don't you give them all a hand? Amen. We'll show you some pictures of it and so on, but we'll go on into the service today as we just move on into the things of God. I did want to say that we bring you greetings from Brother Ron Spencer. We was with him over the Labor Day weekend, and also from greetings from Brother Donnie Reagan that I ministered there with him over the weekend, and we just had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and I really appreciate your prayers. Well, God just came in a supernatural way and just moved on the behalf of His people, and there were just so many deliverances, and even today they're bearing fruit as people are continuing to come forth to rededicate and consecrate their lives again. And, people that have been cold and indifferent, just to see them come out of the Laodicean lukewarm spirit and get into the revival that God has given us in this last day. Amen. And, you know, I just say, you know, get into the water. I mean, come on, it's water for swimming. Don't stay out there in some drought somewhere. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come, and let ever who is thirsty come and drink of the water of life freely." And that's the Bible. Amen. So we're going to today, though, I just had this little text on my heart. We'll get into some of the other things that as we've been speaking of the brides of the Old Testament and speaking along that line. But right now we're just going to take a little side subject from that this morning, as I felt, you know, just something just quickened to me while I was away to minister on this morning. And I'm just trusting that God would speak to us through the Word today. Amen. Amen. As He just lays things, we don't follow. A retired minister came to me from a denomination in a meeting. He said, I don't know how you do it. He said, you know, you get up and just preach for a couple of hours, and said, why, my sermons was over in 15 minutes. And we just read what was issued from the headquarters, you know, for the service that day. And I would read that. And he said, I don't know how you guys do it. Well, there's a difference between inspired preaching and just a lecture that's being given or a sermon that's being read. Amen. But inspired preaching is prophesying in His name. Amen. And so we should look for the Lord to speak. And as you know, when He does speak, He'll discern the hearts. You know, He'll reveal the needs in your life. He'll bring conviction and expose sin. And that's what we want Him to do in our lives. And then He'll bring faith and encouragement and strength to the body. Amen. Healing is there in the Word of God. Now, in verse 6 is where I want to take my text this morning, where we have read from. And he says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Now, you know, a casual look at this scripture this morning, as I just kind of background a moment as to where I want to go in this, But a casual look at this, it would look like that there's at least two deities that are standing here, are here in this scene. But I want you to pay close attention, because in Revelation chapter 4, there says there was one that sat on the throne. And then when we come here in this scene, we get a glimpse of another, it seems, you know. But it's not a man that's standing there. It is a symbolic figure. It is a lamb, and you've never quite seen a lamb like this one. It has got seven horns and seven eyes. And the seven eyes that we find are symbolic of the seven spirits of God that would be sent to seven ages as God would deal with the Gentiles and has done in these last 2,000 years of seven church ages. And then these seven horns would be the Lamb's protection through which he would work upon the earth. And being a lamb, notice it is symbolic of the one who sat on the throne who became our Redeemer. And so it's not depicting at all two gods, neither are there two persons. If you do a computer search of the scripture, you use the descriptors of God and two or three, there's never not one single descriptor of God as being two or three. But God is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. In the New Testament, it comes down the same. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so it comes on and shows us there is but one God. And God became flesh and dwelt among us. And this is showing us how that this God took on humanity. And so in this great story that we read of where that there was someone that was required to take this book out of the hand of God. Now this book is symbolic of the redeemed. Notice that Revelation is a book of symbols. And so it is symbolic of the redeemed. There's not a book like that that's up in heaven. Neither is there a woolly lamb standing there in heaven. But these are symbolic of the redeemed. And all that was lost when Adam lost the right to eternal life. And when the earth plunged into spiritual darkness, the title to earth, title to man, the title to eternal life was lost when man fell. Now, and so this has been held in the hands of God for all of these 6,000 years since the fall of man. And now there was a call to come for someone who would be worthy to take the book and to open that book, to remove its seals so that man could see what was in there. Now, as we're looking at this great story, John, he began to weep and cry, and we'll get toward that maybe toward the end of our sermon this morning, and we'll deal with this more, but I just want to kind of preface it as we go on, that there was a call came out by a strong angel, a strong or mighty angel, a messenger began to scream out, who is worthy to take the book and to loose the seals? And we find there was no man that was worthy. And so, you know, a search would be done then all down through time looking for some worthy man who could come and redeem the lost, those that were lost, that were in this book, that were now in the hands of God, but now had to be taken back, a man that would be worthy to take it. Amen. And there was no man found. And then we find that he said, don't weep, John, because John began to weep and cry, because if this book was not returned back to man, then all was lost. And so as he began to weep and cry because no man was found worthy, he was told to quit weeping, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed. He has wrestled with and overcome. He has prevailed and he hath overcome, and he is worthy to take the book. And he says, I looked to see the lion, and there stood a lamb. Now that's what I'm going to speak on today. There stood a lamb. The lamb stepped out. And this is what we're speaking about today, as we just look down through the scripture of how important this is. As I said, that, you know, when Adam lost the title to the earth, and he lost the title to his own body, and now he actually, his own soul becomes lost, and Satan becomes the king that rules over man's soul, and he sold the whole human race, that when you are born the first time, when you're born of your mom and daddy, every one of us are born lost. And born sinners, because Adam sold us into sin. He sold us with Satan have a right to take our bodies, the members of our bodies, and make them serve sin. Now, and so, you know, here again we find that Adam had sinned, and the Bible says, and unto Adam and also his wife, this is Genesis 3:21, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Now, when we look at this, when man had sinned and Adam's race had fallen, it was a lamb that stepped out. Now, the Bible didn't say a lamb there, but we know that God didn't clothe them with an unclean animal. He would not have taken something unclean and would have clothed them to hide their sin and their nakedness. Right? Amen. So we know that of the three of the clean sacrifices was the lamb and the bullock, which is the cattle or the ox, and then of course the dove is a heavenly creature, and then the goat, of course, which is a representation of Christ all down through the Bible. Now, but notice, as we're saying here, when man sinned and Adam's race had fallen, a lamb stepped in out to intercede, to provide a way for man's nakedness to be covered. Amen. So he could stand before God. Now that was God offering a sacrifice. That was God providing an atonement. That was God providing a covering for sin. Now, you know, Adam had sinned. They were under the curse. And because he said, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. And on that day, the fellowship with God was broken. And Adam and Eve were standing there totally naked and exposed, trying to hide with fig leaves the parts of the body that they had sinned with. And here they're standing there, yet God went and got some skin somewhere. Amen. God must have looked out throughout creation of all the animals, looking for something that would be a substitute, that would die in man's place, because man was worthy of death. He had sinned. And to come in the presence of a holy God with a sin upon your life is death. And so therefore he was looking for a way, because this was his son that had died, that had sinned, and now death, the sentence of death was upon him. And so in order for him to have this communion and this time of conference, that he looked for an animal, for something that would die in man's place. And it was that time that the lamb stepped out. There he is, the meek and the lowly and the obedient. And God took that lamb there, an innocent substitute, and took and slayed it, and then took the covering of the skin of a lamb and throwed it there, the sheepskins, and told him, you know, come out and face me and wrap yourself in these sheepskin. And they came out to face God. Amen. Under the atonement of a lamb. Notice they were the one guilty of death, but a lamb who had done nothing. A lamb who had never sinned. A lamb who had not done anything to cause the curse of sin to come upon him. He was taken and offered in the place of a man. There was death there. There was death and dying. But it was not Adam that was dying there. It was a lamb that stepped forth that took the penalty of death for Adam. Where that there could be this conference with God. Oh, now I can see them standing there as they're coming out to face God. There they are, Adam with his big manly shoulders. And now the blood of sheepskin. That was, you know, now the blood of that sheep, that lamb, running down their legs. And I can see Eve over on the other side, you know, in her beautiful form. And there she was with now blood all over her. Amen. And Adam crying, Eve crying. There was weeping going on, mixing with tears as it ran down their bosoms like that. And Eve leaning over, laying over on Adam's shoulder and hearing the words of God, depart out of my presence. You cannot stay in this garden any longer. Amen. You have sinned and you have fallen and you cannot be king over the earth. And you cannot retain title. Amen. So he, but notice as they were departing and God was watching his children walk away. Amen. As we can just kind of think of it for a moment. Amen. We can hear as it were as they're walking away there that bloody sheepskin. And it's beating against their legs. Slap, slap, slap as they walk away, crying and weeping, walking out of the garden. Amen. And as God watched this, as he watched this unfold, God himself couldn't stand it. Amen. The judge of all, the God of justice, amen, was providing grace in a moment, amen, of judgment. And it all funneled down into four little letters called L-O-V-E. And God so loved that he couldn't see his children go out in that kind of condition. Separated from him forever. And he stopped but said, wait a minute. I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the serpent's seed. Amen. What was he doing? I am promising a Savior. I am promising a Redeemer. I am promising that one day I will be that lamb and I'll take your penalty, your sin upon me, and I'll bear it to the cross. I say, what a Savior. Amen. Take your camera now and look some 4,000 years later, and now we see another lamb. Hallelujah. There was a lot of carrying on that day, some 4,000 years later. Amen. A lot of noise in Jerusalem. So let's say we're sitting in this building today and you know, in that day, and we're looking out and we're wondering, what is all the noise about? What is all this screaming? You know, you hear somebody out there, you know, beyond these walls, and you hear their voices ringing in and they're saying, well, there's that old holy roller out there. There's that one the priests are calling Beelzebub. There's that old holy roller. Well, they're going to crucify him this morning. Amen. He done nothing but tear up our churches. Amen. They're going to crucify him. You know, he's a cult leader. He's against our churches. We don't want nothing to do with him. He's a false prophet. Amen. He said he could destroy this temple and then raise it up again in 3 days. See, he wants to destroy our temple and our way of worship. And he says that instead he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that all must come to God by him. That he would be the only way that man could come to God would be by the man Christ Jesus. God who had become flesh. Amen. I can hear them say, well, you know, I can't wait on to post it on disbelieve the sign, the end of this fanatic. You know, I never really did believe in him anyway. Amen. I met imagine there were those, if they could have been in that day, they were snapping their Instagrams and, you know, all of the different things to post on why I'm against this fanatic. All the false doctrines that he's taught and he's preached. Amen. Things, he said this and he said that. And oh yeah, there might have been a few miracles, but he wasn't really a prophet. Let's every one of us rush just for a moment and go to the window and look out. And we see a man coming down the street, walking down on those rough cobblestone streets of Jerusalem, dragging an old rugged cross. He's been beat and abused, spit upon and mocked. He's got a garment on that's been, they said, was wove without seams. He starts toward Golgotha there. And we can look and we can see a little spot on the back as he's walking, trudging down that way. See the little red spots there on his coat or on his robe. And we wonder, well, now, what are those red spots? And we watch them getting bigger and bigger and bigger until they finally run into become one great big bloody spot. And there we can see the blood is running down his legs. Amen. What is it? You know, we hear something going now. It's going down. Slap, 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 slap. A bloody garment on the second Adam. The Redeemer going down to Calvary. He's bearing away. The Lamb of God is taking away the sin of the world to Calvary. Oh my. It's one of the most pathetic pictures of the whole Bible. Amen. But how could a sinner look into that and remain a sinner? Oh, that's more than what I could ever understand. How could you look upon that? And knowing that there the Lamb was stepping out, taking the punishment you deserved. Amen. What was it? It was the Lamb stepped out. Let's just go just a little, another picture. And there might be hundreds of these we could do, but time would not permit. But you know, the story of redemption is almost, it's in every story of the Bible. These are not just stories. These are prophecies. And we look now and we see the next characters in the Bible after Adam was Abel. And we find that it was a lamb that stepped out when Abel offered a sacrifice. This was a sacrifice, the first sacrifice that man ever made. Now I want you to think of this. The first accepted sacrifice anyway. Amen? Because you see, there God had made a sacrifice. But this is the first accepted sacrifice that man ever made. Was when Abel offered a lamb. Are you with me now? So now the revelation that Abel receives, it follows the same offering that God made to cover man's sin. But I want you to notice that Abel wasn't the only worshiper there. There was another worshiper by the name of Cain. Now, there was Cain and Abel. Both of them are men, we know that. And Cain was a long ways from being an atheist. Cain was a believer. Cain made a profession of faith. Amen. Now, you know, we won't be able to deal with every cult out there, but let's deal with fundamentalism and the full word. Because there are these two spirits, and we want to bring it right out from Genesis all the way down. Now, we notice in these two boys, which is Cain and Abel, both of them are believers. Both of them believed in God. Now, think of this. If faith and belief is all that God requires, and both of them are believers, then God was unjust to condemn Cain. Amen? Because both of them were believers. Now you hear some people today say, well, that's all you have to do is just believe. Make a profession. But I want you to understand, Cain made a profession. He was no atheist. You know, he came up to God. Let's say they come on the east side of the Garden of Eden, because that's where the cherubim was. It was keeping the way of the tree of life. And let's say that they came there and approached there, and they were looking for a way back into Eden. What is the way that would reconcile man back to God again? And so here they're watching now. These cherubims with the flaming sword keeping the way of the tree of life, that no one can come and receive eternal life. Amen. Because God was determined that man was not going to live in sin and yet partake of eternal life. I want you to understand, church, God's still determined. Amen. That you're not going to just continue living in sin and still partake of eternal life. You say, well, we're all sinners. Well, you got part of that right. We were all sinners. Amen. But I tell you, through a new birth, there are people who are not sinners any longer. They are the redeemed. They are not slaves to sin. They're not servants to sin. And Satan has no mastery over them. They are called sons of God, daughters of God. Amen. But these boys that came up to worship God, both of them came to worship. Both of them built an altar. We would say it today that both of them went to church. Amen? Both of them went to church. Now, so if God is satisfied that all it takes is just to belong to church and believe and go to church, and if you think that's all that God's satisfied with and all that it requires, I want you to understand, he would have been unjust to condemn Cain. Amen? Now, I want you to notice both of the boys made a sacrifice. Amen. They were both sacrificing. They were both worshiping. And both were sincere. So it's sincerity and worship and church belonging is all that God requires. Then why did he condemn poor old Cain, who was not an atheist, who was a believer in God, who knew that he was a sinner? And he comes offering a sacrifice. Amen. But friends, it's not just offering worship and praise. Amen. It's not just offering a sacrifice. Right. Come on. Amen. Amen. It's more than that. It's more than just believing. Right. Oh yes, we must believe. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Yes, we must believe. Amen. And Cain was a believer. And Abel was a believer. Amen. You know, we've got this attitude today that we're all going to go to heaven. That everybody's going to heaven. We have this belief. We have this belief, you know. If we just say we believe in Jesus Christ, we're just automatically heaven bound. If we worship, if we go to church, you know, at least once in a while. You know, if we can just be a good to our neighbor, you know, help the poor or whatever else, you know, then it's all right. Everything's good. But I want you to notice, friends, heaven is not for everybody. You say, I don't like a gospel that's exclusive. Well, I'm sorry. It's always been that way. Amen. God was exclusive when he accepted Abel and rejected Cain. God was exclusive when he set Israel apart as a holy nation unto him. And that became God's chosen place of worship. And if you wanted to be saved, you had to come there. Amen. And God's pretty exclusive too. When he comes down to, and say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you cannot come to God except by him. God's pretty exclusive. I was not amused. Neither was I really amazed, but I was sickened, I guess you would say, as I watched and listened to some of this rhetoric there about Kim Davis this past few weeks. You know who I'm talking about. She's the lady that went to jail because she wouldn't sign marriage license, wouldn't issue marriage license to the homosexuals. And there's a lot of pros and cons about that, and I'm not even here to influence you one way or the other on that part. But what was sickening to me was is that we had one group over here singing, "We are the children of God." We have the other group, which was that with those that were supporting the gay agenda, and they were chanting, "We are too." And we had one on one side, you know, saying, "Well, that homosexuality is sin," and the other side is saying, "Well, God loves us all." Now, and we have an attitude today that everybody's going to heaven, but that's not the truth. I'm going to read it to you from the Apostle Paul, and you can argue with him. But let's just read it from 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Amen. So heaven's only for the righteous. "Be not deceived." Don't be deceived. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now, you know, just in case we've lost our meaning, fornicator comes from the word pornos in the Greek, where we get the word porn. And that means, that has been translated fornicator, whoremonger. It is a man who, listen to the definition, a man who prostitutes his body to another's lust for hire. A male prostitute. A man who indulges in unlawful sexual behavior. A fornicator. Paul said these can't go. Amen. Now, not only that, but he said effeminate. Now, that's another word, effeminate. What in the world does effeminate mean? Well, you know, it's translated as soft to the touch. Now, I'm just going to tell you. You know, some of you young men are born, with a little softer, gentler nature. Isaac was that way in the Bible. Amen? But you don't ever go toward feminine traits. You realize God made you, he made them, listen to the Bible, he made them male and female. And you cannot choose what you are. God made you that, and to break that is sin. Just plain and simple, it's sin. So again, effeminate of a catamite. Now, what in the world is a catamite? Sounds kind of catty to me. A boy kept for homosexual relations with man. A male who submits his body to unnatural lewdness. Then it goes on and uses another word, abusers of themselves with mankind. This is another one that says defile oneself with mankind. One who lies with a male as with a female, a sodomite, a homosexual. Right. Now then, you got some definitions here. Three times. Three times. He describes them in any way they can be described. Amen? As effeminate, as a fornicator, as an abuser themselves of mankind. Oh, you say, Brother Tim, you know, they're not going to heaven. Well, they can. They don't have to live in sin. I'm giving an announcement today. Ain't nobody has to live in sin. There's freedom from sin. There's a Redeemer. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Let's read it again. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. And you know why all of that is possible? It's because of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll read it from Revelation 22:14. If you don't like Paul, listen to John. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter into and through the gates into the city. For without the city are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, same words, and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. They're not inside the city, they're outside. Amen. Heaven is not for the unrighteous. Heaven is for the washed. For those who have been justified, cleansed from their sin, saved from their sins, not saved to live in their sins. Now then, Cain belonged to church. He confessed, he believed on God, he wasn't a hypocrite. He worshiped. He brought a sacrifice and he offered it. He knelt down and prayed. Made his confession. Brother, I tell you, that's a pretty good church member, you'd think. Amen. But that wasn't it. Now, Abel did the same thing. Abel also went to church. Amen. Come on, somebody said, well, I'll just worship God. It ain't belonging to church. Abel went to church. Amen. Abel offered a sacrifice too. But why did God receive Abel and condemn Cain? Because Abel had recompense to the reward. Because Abel had a spiritual revelation. Amen. And that spiritual revelation was of the will of God. What did God want? What did God require? Now, Cain comes along and he offers fruits and works of his hands. He makes his altar so beautiful. Maybe it's got stained glass and, you know, it's gilded with gold and, oh, it's wonderful. And he makes his fruits and, you know, labors of his own hand, works of his own hands. And God won't accept that. On the other hand, when Abel went to sacrifice, imagine he looked around for a moment and out stepped a lamb. And he looks at that lamb and he thinks that's exactly what God offered. And if it would atone for Adam's sin, then it would atone for my sin. Hallelujah. Oh my. He got a spiritual revelation. It wasn't just a cold confession and a church joining. Amen. It wasn't just being sincere and paying a tenth of what you got. Amen. But it was a spiritual revelation. And I'm going to tell you, that's what the church is built upon, is a spiritual revelation of who Jesus is. Amen. And a Christian's got to have a spiritual revelation. Not just a cold confession. Amen. I believe in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Go back and live the same old dirty life. There's no power in that. Amen. Amen. Exactly right. Why is there power in this? What is the difference, Brother Tim? Because, you see, the life of a vegetable, the life of a fruit, the life of what he offered of his own hands could not come back upon him. But the life of this lamb, the nature of this lamb, hallelujah, unlike the woolly lamb, that because they were of two different natures, but God became a man, hallelujah, and shed his blood so that the life of God could come back upon you as a believer, and the nature of Jesus Christ could come into you and give you a power to live an overcoming, victorious life. I'm telling you, friends, God's called you to walk in victory. God's called you to walk as an overcomer. He has not called you to defeat and to be a slave to sin or slave to your lust or slave to your pride. Amen. You're not a slave anymore. Amen. But who the Son has made free is free indeed. I'm telling you, church, that's the liberty we believe in. Hallelujah. Not liberty to serve sin, but freedom from sin. Amen. Amen. Now he said, those that receive that revelation of who Christ is, that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. You see, people try to look, try to be so fundamental with the word, and they can't understand the great signs and wonders. Because it has to be revealed. Amen. Abel and he offered his sacrifice. Remember, those were two spirits. Both of them religious. Both of them believing on God. Both of them confessing. One had the true vision. The other did not. Now, you know, these kind of spirits are all the way down to the end time. And the reason for that is because God will take his man, but he never takes his spirit. For example, you know, you can see the Elijah, and then the spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha. And then it come upon John the Baptist, and it's promised again in the last days. Is that right? Amen. So he because he said that he would send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Amen. So God, you see, God took his son, Christ Jesus, but he sent the Holy Ghost to come back and to be in the church. God takes his man, but he don't take his spirit. The spirit must always remain until Jesus comes, right? Which that spirit that was upon Elijah was the spirit of Christ. Amen. It was a portion of Christ that was made, that was fullness in Jesus Christ. But notice now, not only that, but the devil takes his man, but never his spirit. And it came upon Cain. It was there down to the ages, down upon the Pharisees. It's plumbed down unto this day into the religious world that we're living in. Amen. Now, this ain't skim milk. This is the truth, though. Amen. There's Cain, fundamental as he can be, just as fundamental as Abel was. Amen. Believe in God, worship in God, belonging to church. Amen. But one had a revelation. One, it was quickened to him. One, it was a true experience. Amen. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you, it was blood. He had a revelation. It was blood that took him from the Garden of Eden. Amen. In the bloodstream, not apples. Amen. God revealed it to him. Notice, but that religious spirit became angry. That religious spirit became angry and persecuted the one with the revelation and absolutely slew him. Amen. So then that Abel died, as it were, with his lamb on his altar. And that's the whole secret of this whole thing. It isn't just about Jesus dying. It's you dying to sin with the lamb and being raised with him. And that's the problem with so many today. They want religion without dying to sin. They want to go to heaven in their sins. Now, we can go right on down the line. We can see another character in the book of Genesis. His name was Abraham. We preached on him here some time ago. Abraham was given a son. An only son. That's what God called him. God did not look at the child of unbelief, which was Ishmael. He called Isaac thine only son. Because he's the only one that God recognized. He was the son of the promise. Amen. He was not the son of Abraham's own efforts. God doesn't accept that. God accepts that of revelation. Now, he was a child of promise. But now he was his only son. And God asked Abraham to give him up to death. You know, he was asked there to portray God. I want you to get this for a moment. He was asked. Here he was. God was actually going to write something in the Bible. He was going to prophesy using Abraham in his life. And he told Abraham, I want you... he didn't explain everything to Abraham. Now, this is what you're doing. You're really not going to kill your son. This is not. I'll save him in the neck. He didn't let him know anything. Sometimes God don't let you know why you're going through what you're going through. But this is where Abraham trusted in God. God gave me the son. He told me to kill him. He said, and Isaac shall thy seed be called. So I don't know how he's going to do it if he has to raise him from the dead. My God, I was dead when he gave him to me. I was dead in my loins. I was dead. Come on, somebody. Sarah's womb was dead. He was a child that was not of human effort. He was a child of the promise. Amen. So Abraham knew God gave him to me. And it's up to God. So I'm going to put him right back to God again. Amen. 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 I tell you what, if you'll take your trials and your problems and give it back to God, things will be a lot different from you trying to handle things. Amen. Amen. So he was asked to portray God. And here Abraham, think of this. He, in this act, will literally act out what God will do himself. He says, take thy son, thine only son, and offer him upon the altar. Now, Isaac as a son, the Bible said, he takes the wood. You want to read it? Genesis 22:7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now, I want you to get something. You know, Abraham had raised his kid right. He knew how to worship. And he knew what the requirements of worship was. Amen. He knew it wasn't just an empty form of fire and wood, but it required a lamb. It required something to die in their place. Oh, I tell you, if every family will realize your greatest work of evangelism is to your own household. I thought about a great preacher that I know of that died the other day, and maybe one out of three children is serving God, and none of his grandchildren are serving God. Not that I'm aware of. And I say, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. Amen. I realize salvation's of the Lord, and I realize it's all in God's time, and I realize all those things. I realize good parents can do their best, and children can still go wayward. But I'm telling you, it's a tragedy. Amen. When we fail in our evangelism of our own home. Christ ought not be first in the church. It ought to be first in home. Amen. Amen. I thought, well, you know, what good would it do for me to preach the gospel to the whole world and my family be lost? Amen. I want to see. Now, church, you say, oh, Brother Tim, you know, I've got a lost child and they're lost. Why? What are you doing? Lay on your face before God. Remind Him of the promise. Amen. Lord, You promised my children. And I'm not giving up on one of them. I'm claiming every one of them. Where are faithful moms and dads that are praying? Where are faithful young men and women that are calling on God and saying, save our loved ones, Lord? It ought to be your first and foremost goal in your life. Impart this to my children. And don't do it just with words, because I've seen a lot of homes before that children don't want to serve the God you're serving because of the life you're living. But He says, where is the lamb? And Abraham said these immortal words, God will provide, my son, my God will provide Himself a lamb. I don't know how it'll happen, Isaac, but I know there'll be a lamb that'll step forth. He's always provided a lamb. And He's not going to leave us without a lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, and there, as He was about to plunge the knife into the bosom of His son. Oh, I can see Him just a moment. Listen, friends, this was no easy thing. He brushed the... And let me get the picture again. I don't want you to get the picture of Isaac, this about 15-year-old, 16-year-old boy running, and his daddy has to chase him through the woods and grab him and drag him up to the... That's not Isaac. Isaac is an obedient son. He has the same revelation his daddy does. Amen. And if God said to lay me down on the altar, God's able to raise me up again. Amen. So I'll lay myself down on the altar. I can see Him lay down on the altar. Go ahead, Dad. I'm going to tie your hands, son, so you don't move. I want it to be clean. Gets him all tied down. There you are. Looks up at there to heaven. Looks back down to his boy. Brushes the hair back off his forehead. Moves back and looks and examines the place he's fixing to strike. I know. I'm not a killer. Being a farm boy, I put a many animal for food use. And I want a quick, clean kill. I don't want no noise. One of my animals blates or screams out at them. I can't eat it for days. It's the truth. What about your son? He's laying there. He's looking. Looks up to God and says, Lord, I'm doing this according to what You've told me to do. Listen, he knew the voice of God. And about that time, the voice of God screamed out, lay not your hand on your son. Because I see you haven't withheld even your only son. What was it? God knew. He wasn't going to withhold His only son. Come on, somebody. And the Bible said in verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horn. There stepped out a lamb. Hallelujah, right in the middle of death, there stepped out a lamb. God had provided a lamb for Isaac's sake. I'll tell you what a Redeemer we serve this morning. What a God that is conscious of every move that we make. And He knows how to step in right at the nick of time, because this God is never too late. He's always right on time. And you can trust Him in this dark and this dark hour. Amen. You can trust Him in this moment. And you say, what can I do for my wayward son or daughter? I say, put him on the altar. Commit him to God. He'll provide the lamb. We fast forward over to the book of Exodus. We see a nation. He said, Israel is my firstborn. He had made a word of prophecy. It was an Exodus, like God's promise, an Exodus in this last day. So there was to be an Exodus in that day. Israel was in bondage. They had been in slavery for 400 years. And there they had given up on anything ever happened. If you know the Bible history, because of their unbelief, because they didn't receive Moses the first time, now it's some 430 years. Because of their unbelief, God sent Moses out into the wilderness. Moses there in the wilderness came out with the rod. The rod, the judgment rod. The rod by which he had been herding sheep with. He was a shepherd. And he was going to come as a shepherd to lead God's sheep out of bondage. They were down there in slavery, and God sent a prophet with a message of deliverance. But I want you to remember that nobody was delivered until the Lamb stepped out. And the Lamb was slain. Remember, the mighty miracles did not deliver them. The prophet in himself did not deliver them. The prophet with his boldness walking up in the face of Pharaoh and saying, let my people go. And then cursing the Nile and cursing the Nile gods and all the other gods, Beelzebub and all the other gods, and bringing them into obedience. And listen, if you'd have lived in that day, you'd explained it all away. Well, yeah, the water turned to blood. Something happened up in the mountains. And yeah, so the river turns red from the storms up in the mountain, and it's dirty. And of course, the frogs won't live in it, and they come out. And then they, being out of water, then they die. And the fish die because they can't live in the muddy water. And then the fish and the frogs are laying there and stink. And now the flies come. Well, sure, flies come. And guess what? Then disease follows that. You see, they could explain it all away. The devil always has good reasons to convince you not to follow God. And if you'd get on disbelief the sign in that day, you would find a big mockery. Amen? You would find a big mockery of God and a mockery of Moses the prophet. And a mockery of what God was doing in that hour. But you see, there was, like in our day, death that was coming. Now, this time it's not physical death so much as it's spiritual death. Amen? And, you know, here in the midst of death, there needed to be something step out to redeem them. And the Bible said in Exodus chapter 12 and 3, speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month shall they take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now, church, the lamb must not just be in my house. The lamb must be in your house. Amen. You know, we want the preachers to live it, but you know, it's not just the preachers. Every house has to have the lamb. Amen. Now, we've explained this before, but you know, Israel is just as wrong and had done sin and evil as much as the Egyptians had. And there had to be a death in their house too. Amen. Because God was bringing down a curse there of death on all the firstborn. And every firstborn of the Egyptian and every firstborn of the Hebrews, all of them would die. They were everyone under the sentence of death. There was going to be no escaping of the firstborn. Are you with me now? Amen. But then there stepped out a lamb. And a lamb without blemish was taken and killed and the blood applied to every house. Amen. Now I'm going to bring it down to the individual because, friend, the blood must not be just in your family's house or in the church house, but the blood must be applied to your house. I'm talking about your body. Your house. The blood's got to be applied. You're not going to get in on your mama's conviction or your daddy's conviction or the preacher's conviction. You're going to have your own revelation. You're going to have to apply that blood to your own house. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep are from the goats. Isn't this marvelous? That in the hour of death, now listen, it's prophesying another exodus. And we're here in that exodus. And there's got to be a lamb. Come on, somebody. That his life, the blood, is a representation of the life. His life is applied. That's the only way to escape the plague of death. Now, I want to notice a peculiar scripture here. And it's found in Exodus 13:13. There's other places that we can read this from, but this is sufficient. And it brings it down to the humble ass or donkey. And of every firstling of an ass, thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem him, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn among thy children shall be redeemed. So let's just take it for a moment. Now, under the law, let's just say, you know, the mother donkey gave birth to a little baby donkey. We'll use that instead of the Bible term. And the little fellow that was born, let's just say that, you know, he didn't look like much. You know, now you mothers, I know, might differ with me, but there ain't too many babies that are born just beautiful. Takes them a while to develop their look. But notice as I think about this little donkey being born, you know, he comes out of the womb and he don't look good for nothing. Let's say he's a cross-eyed and knock-kneed and his ears are broke down. He don't look worth anything. You see, he ain't good for nothing. And you look at him and maybe he would think about himself. Well, you know, it won't be long. They'll never feed nothing like me. I'm just a little old donkey. The master of the place here, when he comes out and finds me, he'll just knock me in the head and throw me in the ditch. Because I ain't no good at all. Look at me. You know, I got the looks of a firstborn. My eyes are crossed. My knees are knocked together. I can't even walk straight. I'm just a horrible person. Now, you know, the Old Testament was shadows and laws and types of what God was doing. He was foretyping. Foreshadowing the coming of the Son of God. So those laws of redemption in the Old Testament was that the innocent must die for the guilty. All the way down from Eden to the cross, it was the innocent died for the guilty. And under the laws of redemption, that little donkey born out in a pasture, maybe didn't look like anything, didn't look worthy of nothing. And we just think, well, the master of the house, when he'll come, he'll just knock me in the head. because I ain't worth nothing. I'll never be able to make it because look what a horrible thing that I am. And that's the way people think about themselves. You know, I'm unworthy, and you are. We're all unworthy. But I want you to know, if that mother donkey was instructed in the law of redemption, she'd say, honey, the priest will never see you. But the man of the house, he will have to take a lamb without blemish. And that lamb will have to be examined and looked over and will be killed so you can live. Why is that, Mammy? Because you were born under a birthright. You're the first one, and that's the way it is. We were unworthy. We should die. We were not worthy of living. We were not worthy to come to Christ. We're not worthy to ask anything of Him. But God never looks at your unworthiness. Amen. He looks at the Lamb. Amen. And if you can't find any fault in Christ, amen, then you are free. Hallelujah. God don't examine you. He examines the Lamb. I want you to understand, even for the donkey, the Lamb stepped out. And the Lamb died in His place. God don't look at you, the sinner. You say, I've been an awful person. I've done all kinds of wrong things, Brother Tim. I'm like them you said wouldn't inherit the kingdom of God. I'm like them that you read about from the Apostle Paul. And I'm not worthy to come to Christ. I'm not worthy to be healed. And I'm not worthy to be saved. And I'm not worthy to have deliverance. I'm just an unworthy person. I've done so many wrong things in my life. Amen. So look at me. I'm a horrible person. I've done a horrible life. I don't deserve anything but hell. And that's the way we all were. We, everyone, was deserving of hell. But there came a Lamb. A Lamb stepped out. And a Lamb took your place. And a Lamb died where you should have died. And the Lamb was without blemish. Hallelujah. It wasn't you without blemish. You were a knock-kneed, cross-eyed donkey. Amen. But God, rich in mercy, provided that a Lamb would step out and take your place. I'm so glad for a Lamb today. Amen. That we can say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Deserving of nothing but hell. Amen. But God, rich in mercy. For 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as gold or silver or gold. For your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood. This is what you redeemed of. Not traditions, not gold, not silver. There's not enough money can buy your sin debt. There's not enough traditions you can do to pay for your sin debt. But you're bought with the precious blood of Christ, as of a Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained from the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. What a God rich in mercy. We'll skip on down. We'll come down to the days of Christ. I want you to remember in Matthew 1:21 that God would become with us. God had become, had been above us as a spirit God working through the prophets. But now God became with us when He came in Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 1:21, the Bible said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, which means Jehovah the Savior. For He shall save, listen to His job, He shall save His people from their sins. I like that, don't you? He will save His people. Amen. Remember, He came to redeem, to save, and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to save everybody. He came to save that which was His originally. He's not here to save the devil's children. He's there to save His own children. And really, salvation at the altar is really God recognizing, or you recognizing, that God is your Father and God identifying you as a son. Amen. That you always did belong to Him, because you were in His thinking before the foundation of the world. So He shall save His people from their sins. And in John 1:29, we find John the Baptist seeth Jesus coming to him and says, "Behold," or "look, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." You said, well, you said He wouldn't come in to save everybody. He'll save everyone that'll believe on Him. As many as receive Him, gives He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So notice, He's coming to save His people, but how? As a lamb. Amen. So first, He's coming to baptism as a lamb, where He will unite God and man and heaven and earth at the baptism of John. Listen, man had been separated from God through these thousands of years because of sin. Do you know the Spirit would anoint Moses, Elijah, and the Spirit would come and it would go, and it would anoint them and they would prophesy, and then they would go back out again. But I want you to notice on Jesus, the Spirit of God came and abode. Abode with Him. It didn't no longer just come and go. I want you to understand, when you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, it doesn't come and go no more. You don't get anointed down at the altar and backslide next week. Come on, somebody. It abides with you forever. It'll never leave you or forsake you. It'll be with you in your hardest trial. It'll be with you in the hour of temptation. It will convince you of sin. It'll tell you when you're doing wrong. It's the comforter, the keeper. Amen. And He comes there at the baptism of John. And there the heavens open. And the dove descends upon the Lamb. Amen. Amen. What was that? God and heaven becoming, or heaven and earth rather, becoming reconciled. What was that? It was God and man becoming reconciled in the man Christ Jesus. It was God taking on flesh for redemption purposes. Amen. It was the dove uniting with the Lamb. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Amen. The dove, the meekest of all the heavenly creatures that represents Spirit God. Amen. Coming down upon the man, the lamb that represents God as a man. And God and man were reconciled in the man Christ Jesus. That through Him you could get a new birth. Hallelujah. And become sons and daughters of God. Your first birth, you were born a son of dust. But in the second birth, you are born a son of God. Hallelujah. In the first birth, you were born a son of perdition. You were on your way to hell. But on your second birth, you were born, amen, a child of heaven. Oh, glory to God, a son of God. With all the powers of God behind you. Amen. Now let's come down right quick to our text. Now we see in Revelation 5, there was a book that was laying in the hands of Almighty God. You see, Adam had lost the title because of sin. Adam had once controlled the earth as the god of the earth. Adam once could call the animals, and whatever he named them, that's what their name was. Adam once could speak to the winds and the waves, and they obeyed him. Say, how do you know that? Because the second Adam did that when he came. Amen. So Adam could do, you know, was there as a minor god on the earth, ruling over the earth, ruling over. Now listen, what was he doing? He would bring heaven's atmosphere down upon the earth. And the lion would lay down by the lamb. Amen. So how do you know that was in Eden? Because that's what's going to be in God's Eden in the head. The lion will lay down by the lamb. Adam whatever Adam called, that was the name of the animals. Whatever Adam did, Adam could say to this tree, be moved, and over here he dressed the garden. He didn't do it with the sweat of his brow, because that came after the curse. Amen. How do we know? Because Jesus said, if you say to this tree, be ye plucked up and cast into the sea, it shall be done. It shows the power that lays within a redeemed man. Amen. Are you with me, church? Amen. And that which will be exemplified during the millennial reign when man is king again. But now notice what did we have at the beginning? We had eternal life. We were heirs of the world. We never had to die. We didn't get old. We didn't have to be sick. We didn't have no worries. Do you realize there was no funerals? There were no graves. There was no evil. I mean, there was nothing to be afraid of. They had never experienced fear. They didn't have a worry. Amen. They had jurisdiction over the earth. There was a God. They could walk about as a God and say, be plucked up and moved over here. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed, it'll be done what you said. The wind was blowing. Amen. And you know, we call it now, the lightning strikes a place. That's the act of God. That's not the acts of God. That's the act of Satan. Because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And he controls the atmospheres, and the winds come and the storms, and there's great battles in the heavens. As you say, oh, it isn't so. Listen, demons there got in the winds and the waves, and Jesus walked on them. Is that right? Amen. They whipped up a storm, and Jesus conquered the storm and said, peace be still. Is that right? Amen. But Adam there was a God over the earth. And what did Jesus come to do? To redeem us back to that. Now, we're not there yet, but the Bible says in Hebrews, but we see a man. Hallelujah. We see a man that walked on the waters. We see a man that controlled the storms. We see a man that conquered death, hell, and the grave. We know a man that did. Go read Hebrews 2 and you'll see what I'm talking about. Amen. There's a man. And he didn't have to be redeemed. Somebody help me preach now. He had never sinned. Come on. Amen. And he came and took on flesh. What was he doing? He was becoming a lamb. He was going to become the substitute. He was going to die in the place of every sinner. Well, that we all could have redemption. He was going to be examined before Pilate. And he would say, I find no fault in him. He would be examined before the priest. He would then be wounded for our transgression. Bruised for our iniquity. Our sins. Oh man, iniquity is when you know to do what's right and you don't do it. He would be bruised for your iniquity. Amen. He would take the chastisement or the whippings that you deserved upon him. And with his stripes, you would be delivered or healed. He would be led as a lamb to the slaughter and open not his mouth, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. I'm preaching about the lamb. But I want you to notice Adam was in that fallen condition, and Jesus comes to redeem us from that fallen condition. I'm going to just say, what is it going to be? When our full possession comes, Paul tells us that the gift of the Holy Ghost that you got is a deposit on our inheritance. It is not the fullness, it's only a part. Amen? Amen. So we have redemption in our soul, but not yet the redemption of our body. So our body's still grown with the world. We get sick, we die, we have to still suffer humiliation in these bodies. But you have a soul that has been redeemed that the devil can never touch. Hallelujah. Amen. A peace in the midst of a storm, because the storm can never touch what's in that soul of yours. You can go through the darkest trial and it can never touch what's in your soul. Are you with me, church? But I want you to notice, here we are still. We are only enjoying partial redemption. We have the redemption of our soul, but not the redemption of our body yet. It's promised, but it's not there. And the earth has not been redeemed, for it still groans. Amen. But I got news for you. There's another king coming. I got good news this morning. There's a new king and a new kingdom on its way. Hallelujah. And what he's going to do is rapture his redeemed out of here. Amen. For the marriage supper of the Lamb, while he purges the earth of sin. Come on. And he'll plague them like he did Egypt. And he'll bring the wrath of the Lamb upon the earth. Amen. And he's going to come back with his bride, with his people, to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But in order to do that, he has to take the title. Now, paying the price of redemption was done 2,000 years ago. But God promised that the Lamb in this day would take the book and he would loose the seals. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And he would give an open book to a people. You realize what I'm talking about, church? In other words, when I want you to get the picture now, because there had been Calvary, there had been the resurrection, there had been the ascension. But I'm just going to ask you something. Well, what if all we had was that Jesus died on the cross and there was no resurrection? Amen. What if he had died on the cross and went to hell and he conquered hell, but he never went out of hell? What if he had never raised? So his resurrection then was greater than his death on the cross. And then what if he never went back into heaven? You see, when man fell, he can no longer bring heaven down the earth. He no longer had a right to the throne of God. Are you with me now? But now I want you to get the picture, you see, because when sin came over, the atmosphere between the earth and the heavens were darkened, and demons feel that. And Satan become the prince of the power of the air. I'm preaching Bible now. Amen. Amen. Warding off the blessings of God. Amen. Amen. And Jesus came. Amen. When you couldn't come down to earth, go up to heaven, God came down to earth. Amen. For redemption purpose. And he paid the price in order that he could make a way back into heaven. And he says, I'm going back into heaven. And the way I go, you know, and I am that way. And I am that truth. And I am that life. And I go to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back to receive you for myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. And he's not forgot his promise. Amen. He's not a big but for God has promised. Because in our day, there came a lamb. It was the same lamb that was slain. Amen. Heaven moved on our behalf. And the lamb was declared worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. The lamb was declared worthy. Because if a worthy one wasn't found, everything was lost. Calvary was for nothing. The resurrection was in vain. The ascension was in vain. Because the ascension wasn't just so Jesus could go there. but so you could go there. Are you with me? Amen. And this is what he wanted, to bring you there. Are you with me now? Now follow my thought. So now, again, John sees this book and nobody's worthy. Elijah isn't worthy. Moses isn't worthy. Jeremiah, great prophet, but he wasn't worthy. Paul, a great seer and prophet. Amen. An apostle of the Lord. But he wasn't worthy. Amen. He couldn't claim the book. Amen. John himself saw the book, but he couldn't run up there and take it. He said no man was worthy to take the book, to open it, or even look on it. It was a time. Now, if the book isn't taken, then everything is lost. Everything that's done thus far is in vain. Amen. It's got to come back in the hands of a man again. And brother, when we were in that dire strait, amen, where there come a call, amen, and no man was worthy. Come on. You wasn't worthy. Brother Branham wasn't worthy. Nobody was worthy. Nobody was worthy. No man was found worthy. There stepped out a lamb. And he was one who had been slain. He had paid sin's price. Because he was the only one worthy to pay for every man's sin. His blood was not the blood of any man. It was the blood of God. And it was enough to cover the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. It can cover your sin. Amen. He can make the vilest sinner clean. We're talking about the blood of the Lamb. And I heard the voice say, "Don't weep, John. It's not all lost. It's not all for nothing. Amen. It's rapture time. There's someone going to claim the book. Someone going to claim the redeemed. There's somebody worthy to take a bride to himself. Amen. There's somebody that is worthy to take the book of the redeemed and take off the seals. Hallelujah. And open it. Open up the entire inheritance so there can be a rapture. A rapture of the church. And in that moment, there stepped out a lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. And it brings it right on down to our day where we're living. Where he says, "And the marriage of the Lamb has come." He is claiming a people to himself. Amen. And what was the response? Come on. What was the response of John? What was the response of the 24 elders? The 24 elders was symbolic of the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament. Amen. And the 12 apostles of the New Testament. Symbolic of the redeemed of both old and new. And when they saw the Lamb take the book, they fell down before the Lamb. And they cast their crowns at his feet. And they proclaimed, "He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And John said, "I heard all of heaven begin to say, 'The Lamb is worthy.' And I began to hear them on earth say, 'The Lamb is worthy.' And they began to sing a new song. And it brought them into a new worship where they said, 'Worthy is the Lamb.'" Hallelujah. This is not extolling some work of man. This is not exalting a denomination. This is not crowning a pope. This is crowning him. Casting our crowns before him and declaring he is worthy. And I'm telling you, he's worthy to be served. He's worthy to give up your sin for. Amen. There is no sin that is greater than Jesus. Amen. There's no habit that you got. There's no situation that you have
There is nothing equal to Him. He is worthy. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Amen. He is worthy. Amen. And when the bride begins to see He's the worthy one, they'll cast down their own crowns. They'll cast down their own ambitions. And when your young people can see that He's worthy, amen, you'll cast down all the other musicians of the earth and you'll begin to sing a new song. Amen. A song of worship to the Lamb. And your life will say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. And it won't be just with a voice, but it'll be with a life. And your life will declare to a dying world that the Lamb is worthy and the Lamb is without blemish. And the Lamb has shed His blood for me and I am redeemed. Hallelujah. Let's stand together and worship God this morning. Amen. Come on, let's worship Him. Why don't you give a clap offering of praise to Him this morning? Amen. Amen. Let your life, let your voice, let it be lifted up this morning and say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. There stepped out a Lamb for you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Isn't He wonderful, church? Isn't He wonderful? There's no one like Jesus. Amen. He's the only one deserving of your praise and glory because He's worthy. He's worthy. Raise your hands to Him right now. Just begin to thank Him. Begin to give Him praise. Begin to give Him glory. Hallelujah. You're not offering fruits of your hands. You're not offering praise from your works. Look what I've done, God. But worthy is the Lamb. You died in my place. I'm redeemed by your blood. Thou hast redeemed us. Out of every tribe and kingdom and nation and tongue and people. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O God, to take the book and loose the seals. We love you, Lord. We glorify your name. Amen. We glorify your name. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Give Him praise. Hallelujah, Jesus.
So many years, so many lambs.
Oh, think of this now.
Were offered up.
So many years, many lambs.
But all the blood,
but all that blood
could never feel that bitter cup. To one spotless lamb in the form of man gave His life on Calvary. His was the only blood that could ever set. Sets my spirit free, and oh, I'm so glad His precious blood still flows from Calvary. No other blood could heal my broken body. My sin-sick soul.
sing that second verse again.
No other blood could heal my broken body.
Thankful for the Lamb, amen, that stepped in. Oh my, amen. Let's sing that chorus. When I come into His presence, I humble myself. Amen. Aren't you thankful for all He's done for you? When I come into His presence, I humble myself. I lift the whole of my hand. Thank you.
God. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. God, we thank you for all you've done. All the victories you've won, Lord. How you redeemed us and set us free. Oh, it so feels good to be free. Hallelujah. We love you, Father. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song before we go this morning. Amen. I've been to the water. I've been baptized. I've been changed. Amen. You cannot come into his presence without being changed. Amen. Well, I've been to the water, been baptized, blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature. Oh, and redeemed is now my name. Well, I've been changed. Oh, I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged.
I've been reborn.